between those news bulletins.
Yes.
They're making money from those advertisements. And what they're trying to do is hold your attention. They're holding your attention with fear because they know it's going to kick in your survival instinct, and that'll make you pay attention to it. The inside story is, because I was trained as a journalist in the 70s, I learned what they were trying to do so I wouldn't do it and I wouldn't pay attention to it. But what they're trying to do is program you to live in fear. And if you're not aware of that, you will see that distorted view of reality coming over the news is how reality is. And it's not like that. They handpick and cherry-pick the worst-case scenarios of things going on. And very often, if there isn't anything negative in the news, they'll rerun something from years ago just to keep the fear activated in your brain. You have to turn it off.
Or make it up.
Yeah, unfortunately, they do make it up. And we take it as, if you're not aware of this, you'll take it as reality.
Right. You and I could do hours on this. Okay,
yep.
And folks, just for your humor, I've got Joe's book in my hand. I've been asking him questions as we go through the book. I'm only on page 21 in his book. to show you the power of this book. Well, the next thing we're going to talk about is on page 22, and it's called The Remembering Process.
Ooh, that's good.
I love it. I use something similar to it. I call it slightly different, but this is such a fabulous process. Please explain to everybody how they can do this.
Well, I'm now a musician. I have 4 albums out, and the man who's producing my music told me one day about this thing called the remembering process. And I said, what in the world is the remembering process? And I was struggling with writing one of my first songs at the time. And he said something curious. He said, it's easier to remember a song than it is to create one.
I love this. And I'm going to use it on my next book, by the way.
I was fascinated. I was like, what? It's easier to remember a song than it is to create one. And we expanded it, and he started explaining it to me. In fact, he and I have written a book about this. It's called The Remembering Process. And
is that,
the whole
is that
thing
out?
Is kind of an advanced visualization technique. Most people sit here in the moment, and they visualize what they would like their reality to be. They're imagining they have more sales, more clients, whatever you do as an entrepreneur, whatever it is that you're visualizing. So you're sitting in this moment of imagining that it's coming to you in the future. Well, with the remembering process, you go beyond that point in the future. In other words, you already attracted the more clients. You already attracted the more income. You already attracted the success you've been longing for as an entrepreneur. It's past the point of you visualizing it in the future. It's so far into the future, you now remember how you did it. So instead of being here in this moment and doing whatever you're doing in the moment or visualizing a future moment, you actually go beyond the future moment, into the future beyond it, and you remember back to it, and you start asking yourself questions like, how did I attract all that money? I don't quite remember. Did I run more ads? Did I do a publicity stunt? Did I do more on the internet? Did I hire a marketing person to write my headline and my sales copy? Did I do direct mail? And you playfully, with a sense of curiosity and fun, just act like it already happened, and you're just remembering it, much like you might be remembering a dream, and you don't quite have everything there because you woke up right after the dream, and some of it's right there in your mind, and some of it is a little hazy. There's some built-in benefits to doing the remembering process. For one thing, there's the underlying assumption that it already happened.
Yes.
There's no doubt. When you sit here and you visualize the future, a part of you goes, boy, I hope it happens, or boy, I wonder if it'll happen. But when you remember it already happened, now you're remembering a fact. Now you're remembering something that's real in your life, and you're just trying to pick up all the details because it's a little hazy. I love this process. This has become one of the most fun things I've ever done in my life. It did lead to me completing my own songs. I've been in Rolling Stone magazine, Texas Music magazine.
Wow.
I was voted number 9 as singer-songwriter in Austin, Texas. And this is with a guy with a year and a half of experience writing music. How did I do this? I'm remembering my guitar lessons. I'm remembering the songs I wrote. I'm remembering my performing. I'm remembering my albums. This is the remembering process. In a nutshell, it's kind of a futuristic, advanced visualization technique. Instead of visualizing the future, you're remembering the past.
I so got beyond excited when I read this particular thing, because I have done something like this before. It's called scripting, which you know what that is.
Yes,
where you're just writing out your history as if it had already happened.
Yes.
And I also read a book a long time ago. I can't tell you the name of the author, but it was called Future Memory. And it was not as beautifully put. In fact, it was a hard book to read. But what I got out of it was the whole thing of the title was the most important part of the book, Future Memory. And so I highly recommend people try this. If there's anything that you've got to do in the future that you feel a little stressed out about, whether it's giving a speech or, you know, writing a report or, you know, standing up to someone difficult, whatever it is, just or a goal that you want to accomplish. Joe and I both want to tell you, this stuff works.
It absolutely does, and I just want to remind people, you have fun with this. So in other words, if you are going to go into a sales meeting, for example, next week, and right now you're going, okay, how do I make the best presentation possible? And then you'll do all your research, you do all your prep. And if you use the standard visualization technique, you can imagine yourself going into the presentation and you're standing there powerful and you deliver your presentation very persuasively and so forth. With the remembering process, you sit here in this moment and you project yourself past it into the future where it's already happened and it's 2 weeks past it. Then you sit there and go, now how did I close that deal? And you start to play with possibilities. Did I go in there and do a magic trick? Did I go in there and I had a PowerPoint? Or did I go in there and I had some sort of demonstration and I brought in a couple props? And how did I do that? And you are engaging your mind to think more creatively about this, for one thing. And then if you want to get very cosmic about this, there's a lot of the quantum physicists out there who say that we do live in parallel universes, and the remembering process is actually just tapping into another parallel universe that's slightly ahead of us, and you're just remembering what you did in that universe so that you can do it in this universe. So it's mind-stretching, but boy, is it fun. And that's what I want to remind people. There's no right or wrong, and if you don't get specifics, it's okay, because you're toying with your mind, and it may come later, it may come in a dream, you may remember it the next day, but boy, it has some built-in benefactors that is making it really worth doing. It's very powerful.
It has helped me tremendously in a lot of projects. All right, I could talk about that all day too. So the next thing I wanted to talk about is in your, you know, the book we're talking about now, but also in the Attractor Factor book, which is a fabulous book, you talk about the challenge people have with the word need and also the energy of the word need. And just to give everybody a little definition, I always say to salespeople, if you go in and try to make a sales call and you are in desperate, desperate need of making that sale, you energetically push it away.
You absolutely do. This is a massive insight. It's really one of the million-dollar secrets on this call. I know personally when people are trying to persuade me of something, if I smell desperation on them, I am not going to work with them.
Right.
And there's something that they're giving off. They may not even know that they're feeling that or revealing it, but people pick up on it, on their sixth sense, on whatever their spider sense is, whatever you want to call that. I know that you want to come from that place of security and strength and power. And when you go to make your presentation, there should be no sense of desperation or need in your being. Otherwise, the other person's got to pick up on it. And I've heard this from other business people. I think I've even heard Trump say this, that if they smell or sense that a person is desperate, they don't want to work with them. That is an energy that is going to pull people down. It's already pulling down the person that has it in them. Metaphysically, if you will, or psychologically, if you will, you want to come from a place of security, because this has power that people want to be around. People don't want to be around needy people. They don't want to be around unhappy people. They don't want to be around unhealthy people. They don't want to be around needy people. So you need to come from that place of strength, security, power, empowerment, optimism. People want to be around that kind of strength. But more importantly, that's an inner signal you're sending out to the universe, and you're sending it out through your